May 17, 2011. The time is 12:53 p.m. Present is Dina Brown, Greg Fahovich, and Officer Nicolino Stavali. Officer Stavali, you have signed the advice and rights in due understanding?
Yes, ma'am.
And at this present time, you do not wish to have representation?
Yes, ma'am. That's correct.
Did you call a discharge of a firearm on April 18 of this year?
I do.
And can you tell me your role that day?
It pretty much started with a call for service on Virginia. I think it was Officer Pearson that was at that location. I had just left from covering two other officers on a call on Fergus, and I responded to Virginia to cover Officer Pearson, and we received a call about an assault involving a knife and possible cutting. When I got to Pearson's location on Virginia, Pearson was with the alleged victim there, said that injuries were minor and that just, follow the sergeant over to location on Chase where the possible suspects had been located.
Was the supervisor on Virginia as well?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. When I got there, Sergeant Mitchell got there before I got there. So I pulled up and I saw Officer Pearson. Pearson said, just follow Sergeant. I got this. I got the victim here, minor injuries. Just follow the sergeant because we've got the suspects over on Chase. So Sergeant Mitchell turns around. I follow directly behind him. But he makes a U-turn first. So he gets the location on Chase before I get to Chase. It had to be maybe 20 seconds from the time that he arrived and the time that I arrived. Okay. I parked my car on the street. I was a few cars back, three or four cars back on Chase, actually in the line of traffic. I guess it would be the eastbound lanes. And I got out of my car. I could see... when I got out of my car, I walked around the back of it, and I walked up parallel with the sidewalk, and I could see a man, a girl, and a dog. Okay. They were, at the time, all sitting on the sidewalk.
This
yes, ma'am.
This is a drawing.
Yes, ma'am.
It's not true to scale.
Okay.
But because the sidewalk is a little bit larger, but if you could, as if you were driving up, where did you park it, how did you get out?
Okay. Okay.
Here's a picture.
Okay. I know there were parked vehicles on the side up against the curb.
Okay.
So I recall that I pulled up and parked maybe there was.
What's your initial name? Where you were?
Okay. And I walked up to the scene and. This is the house. I assume this is a tree in front of the house on Chase. I remember seeing the man here, the female here, and they had a dog here.
Put him and
female dog. And Officer Neller and Sergeant Mitchell.
Approximately how close were they to the male and the female?
They were probably about 4 to 5 feet away from them. Yeah. Officer Johnson was right about here. And on my approach up, I noticed that the man got up off of the sidewalk. He was sitting on the sidewalk, but I was trying to take in all my surroundings on the way up there as well. But I noticed a bottle of a glass bottle of beer that was on the sidewalk. And I noticed the dog there, and I noticed that he got up off of the ground, and he started to walk towards Officer Johnson.
Was he saying anything?
No, I don't remember him saying anything. As I was walking up, though, that's when he was getting up, And I took my cues basically off of Officer Johnson because he was backing up. And that's when, you know, I heard Officer Johnson give two distinct verbal warnings. You know, keep your hands out of your pocket. Don't put your hands in your pocket. The man continued to dig into his right pocket, not listening to Officer Johnson. So as Officer Johnson was backing up, you know, I had already made it up to the sidewalk, but I was also backing up, flanking Officer Johnson. And the man continued to walk. He had a stagger. You know, he was staggering, you know. And he kept digging in his pocket, and with one quick motion, pulled out, I saw something silver. His right hand pulled out of his right hip pocket. I saw something silver. You know, things were going through your mind because, you know, we were given information on the run that there was a knife involved. So I wanted to create distance. You know, I'm sure that's what Officer Johnson was trying to do, to create distance at the time, if there was a knife involved. When I saw him pull something out of his pocket, it had to be 6 to 8 inches. I remember seeing chrome, silver color. And in one quick motion, you know, he took it out of his pocket and just that kind of emotion. With his hand, you know, over his head, and it actually ended up pointing towards the house. The arc of his arms travel. Okay. And at that point, I hear, you hear a gunshot. I don't know if it was one or two. You know, I thought, wow, did he just throw fireworks? You know, it's unusual at the range. You have earmuffs on. You don't hear what actual gunfire sounds like. And on the street, it is echoing off of the stone wall. And, you know, that's when Sergeant Mitchell had discharged his weapon. And that's when I saw Mr. Hebert fall to the ground. And when he fell to the ground, he was perpendicular to the street.
Okay, as he was walking toward Officer Johnson, he was going up with his arm in an upward motion
over
his head?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And then when did you hear the shots? After the
It was immediate. It was as that arc, you know, of his arm travel was happening. That's when I heard it.
How close would you say he was to Officer Johnson?
He had to be maybe 3 feet away, 3 to 4 feet away. Because he continued to walk, and Officer Johnson continued to back up a little bit, and I was backing up with Officer Johnson. I was probably about here. I think I was actually either on the edge of the sidewalk or actually on the street. And I was probably about 3 to 4 feet away from Officer Johnson.
Could you see where the bullets landed?
At that instant, no. I mean, when I saw him on the ground, I saw the holes in his hoodie, in his sweater. Yeah.
And was his back still toward Officer Sergeant Mitchell?
Yeah, at the time, it would have been. Yes, ma'am. As he was digging into his pocket.
excuse me, clarifying for me.
Sure.
When he does the forward motion towards Johnson with the knife taken out of his pocket into his hand, he's going above his head, he's facing Johnson?
Yes.
Okay. And did you happen to see where the knife went?
I looked up, and from what I could tell, it had, you know, up in the yard.
I mean, did you see him throw the knife, or see the knife go in the air, or anything to that? After the fact, but...
I remember him taking the arc with his hand, and at that point, you know, I heard the shots, and yeah, I don't remember the knife actually leaving his hand, but right. I know that it was heading towards this direction.
Now, Sergeant Mitchell was towards his back.
Yes.
When he discharged.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, basically, when he fired.
Mr. Hebert kind of did a turnaround. He spun around.
After he had his hand raised, or?
All in one motion. Okay. It was that quick. It was as quick as digging into his pocket,
right,
pulling what he pulled out, and making a motion like this. Sergeant Mitchell was behind him, and he did a motion like this, which he ended up actually facing Sergeant Mitchell when he was done with his motion.
Besides the two commands you heard from Johnson, did you hear anybody else make any commands or making statements before the shots?
No, I said, you know, when I saw that what he was pulling out of his pocket, I said, you know, son of a bitch,
mm-hmm,
pretty loud. I don't know if anybody heard me say that, but that was my initial, you know.
And after you shot and he falls to the ground,
yeah.
Where's the female at?
Female is still on the ground.
She's on the ground?
Yeah.
Was she on the ground when you approached?
Yeah, they were all sitting on the sidewalk. Yes, sir.
She's still sitting down?
Yeah, and I believe...
Did she react to this at all?
She had kind of like a blank stare on her face. I remember looking at her, and she was looking at me, and it was almost like, you know, what just happened, you know?
Okay. Who takes possession of her, if anybody?
I believe Officer... actually, Officer Neller takes her away from the scene.
At any point in time, does she look towards her bear?
She was facing that direction, so I'm sure...
She was facing towards Johnson and your direction?
Yes, sir. She was facing westerly. So, yeah, I'm sure she did. I just don't remember her actually.
You don't remember any action or reaction from her part?
No, she was... Okay. At that point, she was quiet. She had this blank stare on her face, like, you know, what just happened?
And she never has any emotional outburst or anything you recall?
No, later on.
No, I'm talking...
At the time? No, sir.
No, okay. And then, up to the time Nella takes her, Nella brings her where?
I remember Neller walking out into the street with her,
mm-hmm,
and at that point, I believe she was put into a vehicle that was parked, police vehicle,
right,
that was parked right about here.
And at no time up until that, she makes any emotional
reaction? Not that I recall, sir.
Okay. Did you talk to her at all?
I did not.
Besides Nella, did you see any of the other two officers talk to her, Johnson or Mitchell?
No, sir.
So after he's shot and he falls to the ground, what does Mitchell do with Johnson and you?
Sergeant Mitchell, he's still covering Mr. Hebert.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here because through all everything that's going on, I'm taking cover because, you know, I don't know,
right,
if she's still a possible threat or if the dog is a possible threat. You just
right.
don't know. Sergeant Mitchell has him covered still. He asks me, you know, do I have gloves? I put gloves on, and I proceed to search him, pat him down, and empty all of his contents out of his pockets and make sure he doesn't have any other weapons. I remember a wallet. It wasn't anything that was... you know, would have been considered dangerous. It was just not that I recall. No, ma'am.
When you first arrived, did you see Johnson at any point in time put his hands on her bear?
No, sir.
At any conversation you heard Johnson, besides what you stated, take your hands out of your pocket?
No.
Did he have previous?
No, sir. I mean, if there was, it was before I got there.
Okay.
On my approach, I remember him distinctly, at least two times, saying, you know, take your hands out of your pocket, get your hands out of your pocket.
When you first arrived, you immediately got out of your car?
Yes, ma'am.
Or?
No, when I parked my car, got out, and because I could see, you know, this is out of scale, too, and this is a little bit closer, but I saw everybody on the sidewalk, so I stopped my car, I got out, and approached immediately.
What was the lighting on?
It was dark. Obviously, it was nighttime. There's street lamps. It's not the best lit street. There's lots of trees that, obviously, that line the sidewalk, so they block a lot of light.
And did you draw your weapon?
The hood on my weapon was open, like I had actually gone for it, but I never. I didn't pull it out at the time. Afterwards, When Sergeant Mitchell asked me if I had gloves to search him, I did have it out covering him also, Mr. Ribeiro, but I did put it back in.
Did you see anybody else with a weapon out? Or?
No, sir.
Is there anything else that you want to add that we didn't ask and you feel it's important for anybody to know or us to know?
Yes, sir.
All right, this interview is-